Please be advised that this episode of the podcast contains discussions of a sexual nature.
Amagwini thokozani emakhosini. Igama lam nguZipho wakwaGdolamo elokugula nguMayihlome. Xa uthanda ungandibiza ngoGumayihlome okanye ngoGonyazi lweZulu. Bendizothanda uthatha eli thuba ndicamagushe kuzo zonke izihlweli ezindiphetheyo eziphakathi komzimba wam endilibeleyo okanye endingazibizanga ngoku zingaqumbi iziqalekisi. Ndiqale ngocamagusha emabheleni, emkolanga odlambulo oqunta ovaphi onondanda kuphakanyiswa, ndiyacamagusha. Ndicamagushe emazizini olamyeni omtatela ongxibi noboya. Ndicamagushe kombathano oxesibe ndingawalibelanga amampinga owawa obholokoqoshe. Camagushe kwisihlwele sandiphehlelelayo sandibeka ibhekile entloko nditsho kuthiyani uzengele unonkosi xa ndisitsho ndicamagushe. Camagushe ke kwisihlwele sotholo ondlangisa ndicamagushe kootita ongcwangule. Camagushe kwisihlwele sandifundisa uphakama isidlozi njalo ndithokozise kubaba wam uMamntambo kaNhlangothe ngithi thokoza gogo. Ndithokozise kugogo mkhulu wami uMapitsi kaMahoto ndithi bayethe makhosi amakhulu, makhosi ezizwe. Ndiyacamagusha.
Thokozani and welcome to episode 20 of Gogo Have I Been Scammed, brought to you by Times Live. On this platform, we discuss, share wisdom, and raise awareness on all things traditional in African spirituality, including but not limited to scams. My name is Gokozipho Dolamo, and I am your host. As we're nearing the end of July, we've just celebrated Nelson Mandela Day. We've put in our 67 minutes. And I hope that we will continue in this legacy of uplifting communities, transcendent beyond any 67 minutes. Our contribution on Gogo is knowledge. And as such, we have quite an interesting topic for us today. We're going to do things slightly differently as we have before. We are engaging with a piece of correspondence from a listener. Who has some concerns in and around spirituality, sex, and sexuality. Before we get into it, I would like to exercise my pleasure in introducing two phenomenal spiritualists, critical thinkers, and all-around rock stars, Thokozani Camagwini and Namaste. Welcome to the platform. Please introduce yourselves. Let us know who you are, what you do. Yeah, please. I'll start with you, Gogo Mahlobo or Siphokazi.
Thokozani, siyacamagusha sirikhanya to all the listeners. Ndingu Gogo Mahlobo, igama lokugula. I'm also Siphokazi Tau. I'm a healer, researcher, sometimes creative, and most of the time thinking academically. And my sort of way of living is sort of merging how our ways of being can sort of be thought of as valuable, can be thought of as intellectual. That's sort of what I do. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you. Asande, over to you.
Thokozani Camagwini. Hello, everybody. My name is Asande. I'm very happy to be joining you guys today. I am a yoga teacher. Let's just say I'm a spiritual person, a human being on a spiritual journey. And my interest is, as an African person, an Afrocentric person, is how do I merge or combine African spiritual practices when I am on self journey, especially if it's a journey that is outside African spirituality, and how do I stay true to my African roots in that spiritual journey. So yeah, thank you.
Thokozani, those were wonderful introductions. And for those who you know, would still like a little bit more clarity. On this platform, we naturally embrace anyone and everyone on a spiritual journey, right? And for this particular discussion, I just thought, let me, being a person who is formally initiated as a Sangoma, I haven't gone through initiation school, let's have a discussion in and around sex and sexuality, right? But also from the point of view of abantu abathwasile and people who are self-journeying, because that is a very real thing in our time, a legitimate practice as well. So, okay, I think I want to start with you, Asande, right? As a person who is self-journeying, naturally you have your spiritual mentors and your spiritual advisors and so forth, right? Who will point you into a direction where you can naturally explore for yourself. I just want to know, within those interactions, did you get to a position where you have spoken about sex, or sex has been brought up to you within the spectrum of spirituality? And how has that been constructed to you and for you?
Okay, so I'll just thank you so much for that question. Beautiful, beautiful question. I'll just start by basically going back to what I can speak about academically, which is yoga, right? And in yoga, there are eight limbs. And one of the eight limbs of yoga is to refrain or observe and refrain from doing worldly things, which include sex, right? So it's just like, I don't know how to put this, you know, I feel like every spiritual system has like commandments, like, you know how in the Bible there's 10 commandments that say thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And so when I began my journey as a yoga teacher, I had no idea as to, you know, like probably practicing celibacy could bring about more spiritual enlightenment and just observing myself from worldly pleasures. And it's not like it was not something that I had not heard before. However, it was something that was framed really differently in order for me to accept it, or maybe I had grown. But then from that knowledge that I got from doing the teacher training in yoga and learning about the eight limbs of yoga and learning, you know, how, you know, celibacy is a thing that you might need to embark on as a spiritual being and a spiritual person, I then started to realize that this practice has been, or this kind of celibacy as a concept has been spoken about and talked about in a lot of spiritual systems. And hence, I think once you embark on any type of spiritual journey, sex is a very, very, very touchy topic, not just within African spirituality. And I think obviously as my friend and my colleague in spirituality, Zipo, and you taught me that, you know, celibacy is part of some of the things that you need to do as Isangoma, as Utwasa. And that is not something, so the link between all of the spiritualities in terms of taking time off sex and being celibate so you can reach some kind of spiritual enlightenment has been consistent from me. That's what I've seen. So in self-journeying, that is also very important to me, because I can't say I'm journeying spiritually and still any spiritual system that I look at is saying I must do something, or saying that I need to take, or suggesting rather, and I don't do it. But yeah, I'm just going to leave it there for now. I've said a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think, Gogo Mahlobo, you know, let me preface this by saying, for those who don't know, I suppose the wider audience, Umahlobo is my spiritual older sister. So I must give her that respect on this platform. Naturally, Gemdomdala, as people who come from a spiritual home, or we share a spiritual home, right? naturally having existed in that spiritual home at different times. Can you tell me about how the idea of sex, or rather the conversation of sex, came about when, you know, you were sort of inducted into the space of ubungoma, or transitioning into the space of accepting your calling even before uyongena in initiation school?
So I think perhaps what's important to note ngephehlo ngokuthwasa, so about spiritual institutions and the process of initiation, is that various institutions in Bande, if you like, in Klombe, are going to sort of, they're sort of, to some extent, is a generic way in terms of how we think and practice spirituality and training, but it will always be specific to also just meet the times or meet the conditions of the particular institution. When I went into initiation, I was at that time initiated at one of our spiritual homes, where there were very ancient healers. So in terms of biological aging, they were older, they were elders. But secondly, in terms of when they were trained and how they were trained, so the rules were quite strict, I would say, in that sense. But I think even when I think about Umfowethu, my Mahlome's initiation, and others as well, under different contexts, going through a spiritual journey of any kind, so outside of the parameters of how I have been trained, requires you to sort of, if you like, allow parts of your human self to die. And I say to die in the sense that you might not come back to those, we can call them activities if you like, we might not come back to those, you might not come back to the same diet, you might not come back to the same lifestyle. And that is to say, the important thing about being in a process of spiritual enlightenment is to say that your body functions as a vessel that sort of has to protect your mind, your soul, your spirit. And what you feed it, what you connect it to, what you are listening to, who you are sitting next to, is quite important, because you sort of connect with someone else's spiritual journey or where they are at that given point, right? You commune with other people. And so part of the process of going through a spiritual journey is that you have to mourn that. You have to forego certain experiences and certain parts of your lifestyle that are normal to you, but you sort of have to sort of make the sacrifice to say, I'm stepping into a higher self, I'm stepping into a better self. Sometimes that is temporary, but sometimes it could have permanent implications. That's the first thing. The second thing is that sex is quite a very strong connection tool, if you like, between two or more people, right? Because people have sex in numbers. It's not just two people. And so you sort of have to be cognizant of that. And I think because of the ways in which, if you think about sex in a biological way for reproductive purposes, but if you think about it, Ugogo was also referencing earlier, if you think about it in the Christian spiritual way, in terms of we're communing to sort of have this intimate moment that is both pleasurable but honorable. And so you, because your spiritual journey is really yours and your ancestors alone, it's quite important to not sort of be communing with people in any way. Sex is one of the strongest ways in which we can connect with someone else's energy. And so staying away from it while you are in process, or while you are observing something, is quite pivotal for you to sort of remain, if you like, pure in your thoughts, or pure in your connection with your ancestors, or pure in your connection in your spiritual journey. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, I think I want to just throw this question out. Oyobuti, now naturally we all have spiritual parents, or We have shamans, we have people from whom we learn from, right? What does the conversation about sex look like, right? So in as much as now we've had the more grandiose conversation in and around the operations of sex in terms of energy and the energetic exchange, now, I say Tomalele ugogo Mahlobo, and now this person is dealing with Usphokazi, and Usphokazi is speaking, let's say, Gobela is Zipho. What does that conversation look like? Are you having conversations in and around, you know, how much time? One must stay away from sex? What are some of the things that are, you know, laid out?
Yes, I think because oftentimes, so there are different ways in which people will find themselves at initiation. Sometimes you have to be brought there against your will. Sometimes you are critically ill. And sometimes you can take yourself with you being in your most competent self. So it's going to, that condition is going to influence how that conversation is going to happen. I understand that our conversation, of course, is about sex, but sex forms part of the various rules and regulations in any case. And so for me, if I remember correctly, I had gone into initiation and about 2 weeks or a month or close to a month before then, I started asking about what can I do and what should I absolutely, under no circumstance, be doing. And, you know, that involved sort of, so I had to lose certain parts of my autonomy. I couldn't necessarily be on social media connecting with my friends and family as regularly as I wanted to. Just sort of knowing that you are in a particular space where you have to detach from the world and worldly activity. So then we had to have a conversation about what you can and cannot eat. And then secondly, what you should not be doing, which is like having sex, fighting with people. And I think sex is quite an important one, because what happens to the body when the body is in a process of shifting into a different spiritual space is that the body, all your senses become heightened. So your diet, epethweni, is important, because what you eat is going to make you lighter, faster, think clearer, hear clearer, see clearly, all of that, right? And that's also going to heighten your sexual appetite as well. But I don't mean it in the sense of you are needing to connect or touch another person. I mean in the strongest way to say sex is going to just be a heightened emotion or feeling or desire. And because you are in the spiritual space, the way in which we think about gender and bodies and sex is not the way in which typical society thinks about it. So as a woman, I don't need men around for me to be having sex. I don't, you know, there are other female bodies as well. So you sort of start thinking about relations and sexual relations outside of the binaries, which makes it incredibly possible for sex to happen. Outside of, if you like it, you can call it queerness. I wouldn't necessarily impose that word there. But sex is super possible with every person that's also in the same process with you. Because if you have heightened emotions and senses, everyone around you is also on the same journey, which means everyone is also on here. Yeah. So what I also think is important maybe for me to flag here is that I had check-in conversations with my Gobela at different points, perhaps once or twice, to talk about how some of the things were emerging, but this was particularly happening in my dreams. So I would sometimes dream of myself being partnered with a particular person. I knew the person. So we would talk about that and sort of what then happens if you have a sex dream? How do you come out of that and also make sure that your energy is safe for the others as well? So we had regular check-ins that sort of touched on that. It's not a typical procedure, I think. I think it's just because of our characters, and I had to spearhead it because I am a sexual being, you know, and I had those questions. So this answer, sorry. Yeah, I was like, so the simple answer is that it can happen as direct as it can happen. But I have seen it I've seen it not happen in the direct ways. I think there's an assumption that you should know what not to do when you, like, I think people are like, you should absolutely not be thinking about sex going into initiation. And it really sounds dumb that someone has to flag it. And I realized that when it was happening, and then when my senses started becoming strong, I was like, this is a conversation that needs to happen as explicitly as possible. Yeah.
Look, I think before we get too entrenched or too deep into the discussion around sex and sexuality, let's listen to the clip from our concerned audience member, just so we make sure that we touch on the important questioning and on the important kinds of narrative that we need to get into. So I think play that clip and we can get into the discussion a little bit more.
I'm not a qualified sangoma or healer. However, I recognize my gift and I have committed to my ancestors that I accepted and have started embarking on my journey, which includes to a large extent self-initiation as per my ancestors' instructions. I have mentors that are assisting me as I embark on this journey, mostly on an advisory level, which includes the interpretation of dreams, consultations, etc. I've also become aware of the guides who walk with me, and since knowing that, I am somewhat confused as to how I navigate my relationship, and especially the intimacy part of it, knowing that I walk with my guides. This has, to a large extent, affected my relationship. My question is, how do I navigate being on this journey and also maintain my relationship? Also, how do I communicate my fears, reservations, etc. to my partner as a gifted person? How do I bring that chat to the table? Do I cleanse after being intimate? If so, with what? When should I even be intimate with my partner as a gifted person? For example, I am aware that when one fasts, you often fast sex as well. Also, when they are imicimbi ekhaya, I am aware that uyazila in terms of sex and food, etc. Or, if I know I will be attending a cleansing soon, I do the same in terms of uzila, intimacy. Also, masturbation and spirituality, ? Someone once said, once you nisha your partner, you leave room for spiritual husbands and wives. Also, the concept of soul ties. Is it real? How do I cleanse myself of soul ties with previous partners? I am aware sex is more than a physical thing. It's very much spiritual as well. I'm only at the birth of this journey and already I have uvalo. I also fear if I neglect idlozi to an extent and focus on umjono, They will become jealous and take away my person and vice versa. Maybe it's better I just leave Mjolo and focus on the journey because it has already isolated me from a lot of things, especially friends and the streets, etc. Which in all honesty, I'm fine with. In terms of those aspects, I've become used to it. Am I fine to worry or must I just live my life? I would ask my mentors, however, I am apprehensive as they are men and a bit older, so I have no one else to go to. Gogo, please help.
Togozani, I think, okay. There's quite a bit to discuss there, right? But before we get into it, I just want to urge our listeners, be it practicing spiritualists and so forth, Ubuti, you know, I want to discourage the spirit of fear when it comes to ugobela wakho and your mentor, because this person is responsible for your life. You know, yonke into oyenzayo sort of goes through this person spiritually. So, you know, one might be apprehensive, and though I share feelings of apprehension, because it is difficult to teta nomuntu omdala about these types of things, but you know, I would encourage ukuthi we exist in a space where we try and find ways to also use that kind of conservative language and so forth when connecting to others. All right, okay. I think I will ask Asande this, right? As a person who doesn't necessarily have a set program within spirituality, right? And by that I mean ukuthi, you're not necessarily uyangena uyimvuma kufa as uSiphokazi and I would have done, right? And so what that has done for us is that it has given us time frames under which we are aware of our fulfillments towards celibacy, right? How do you get there as a person whose journey is up to them?
Yeah, that question, that clip was very loaded. And there were a lot of points that I wanted to touch on. But I'll begin with also just continuing with what Ugogo Mahlobo said and Siphokazi said about when you're in a spiritual journey and you're having a heightened experience, you are also very much heightened sexually. And you, the urge to actually have the sex is quite high. So it's very hard to navigate that, especially also as a woman with a body that, you know, I have a cycle, I have ovulation, I have follicle, I have all of these things that are happening to me. And then I put in spirituality. So for me personally, as a person who's on self-journeying, I recognize the periods of kind of where I need to fast or maybe take a step back by firstly something major happening in my life. That's the first thing, like a major event that I would have never expected, right? And also heightened dreams. So I don't know how it is ePhehlweni, and I don't know how it is eDlozini necessarily in the process of ukthwasa, but or intwaso. But for me, I have periods where I'm very heightened spiritually. And this is periods where I can clearly see my dreams. I can wake up and tell you a story about them. You know, like I often say I'm tired because at night I'm not sleeping. Like 3D movies are playing in my head, in my subconscious. And then in the morning I have to like wake up and work and all of that stuff. But that is the first, the two things that I recognize, okay, something needs to give and I need to go inward and have time to myself by or just my feel myself in my body. And in the yogic practice, this is a lifetime. This happens over the span of your lifetime. Yes, you may have periods where you have heightened, maybe you go to yoga teacher training or whatever. But the wording that I was looking for when I was referring to the eight limbs of yoga, I was referring to one of them, which is yama, and it's known as absenteeness. Woo, that word, sorry. And amasa means non-violence, non-harming other living beings. Hence, when Usipokas spoke about a diet, a lot of yogis interpret amasa as not maybe when you're going through whatever you're going through, when you're going through teacher training, when you're going through a spiritual experience, as not eating meat. So even when you do go, let's say you go to a yoga retreat, you go to a yoga teacher training, the menu on most of those things does not include meat. You as the individual can decide, okay, I'm going to go down the street and order myself some KFC. But that has nothing to do with us here. We've given you the bounds in which to kind of conduct yourself. And then there's also brahmacharya, which is actual sexual restraint and celibacy, which means that you need to restrain and go inward. And I think one thing about the spiritual journey and self-journeying, it's actually self, right? So in as much as the listener said, you know, I don't want to lose my person, I don't want to do that. But another thing I've come to learn is that a person that is supposed to be your person will kind of understand that you need to do this and you need to go through this process. That's the first thing. And they will try and support you through the celibacy, if it is a person that also Idlozi would want in your life, and a person that Abantu Abadala and your guides would want in your life to kind of realize your highest spiritual potential. However, if that person is going to be a distraction, then they will keep showing you just how, like, they remove the friends, they remove, but you're fighting. And as human beings, like, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, it's very hard for us to sever connections. It's so much easier to be like to my friend, actually, I'm done with you, our friendship is over, than to say to a person that I'm involved with romantically, I'm done, or I can't continue because of my spirituality. It's very hard for us as humans to cut those spiritual cords with people that are in our lives, especially if we're intimately involved with them. And yeah, that's what I say. I always say with those kind of relationships, it's always, I also heard somebody say, you know, I've never met a woman who didn't know before the relationship started that the relationship was not for her in her intuition. And I mean, I guess I'm being gender biased now, but as a spiritual person, you rely heavily on your intuition. So your intuition, if it's telling you no, and you shouldn't do these things with this person, then I think you need to tap into that. Especially as a self-initiate, you need to make time for yourself in order for your intuition to speak. Because even when you're making the decisions, even if you're saying, yo, I'm going to give in to worldly pleasures, you will know as a spiritual being that this is not right and this is right. And like you guys have said, also the help of your spiritual parents, your gobelas, your spiritual people here on this earth is very important, that you can have conversations, that you can be like, yo, call somebody and be like, I messed up. I did the thing. Then they maybe can help you to get some way to cleanse yourself. That's not my forte, but I can call an elder and say, yo, it was bad. I felt too much and I needed a release. So this is what I did. So then they can advise me accordingly onto how to move forward and try and help me to kind of detach myself from any energy that a person is going to attach itself to me. And also because when I am in spiritual enlightenment, like Sipokazi said, I am very sensitive to energy. So whatever it is that comes into your body, is your spirit can latch onto it. And sometimes that's not always good. But yeah, I'll stop there for now. I'll just let you guys continue.
Magogo, I think my next question or inquiry is for you, right? You mentioned Uguti. Naturally, umuntu makangena ephehlweni or xa eyongena into their spiritual home, eyoya indlwa kofaza yakhe or indwaso, or however you want to term it, there's naturally, I don't want to say a severing of earthly ties, but there is a bit of a step back, right, from friends, social media, as you said, right? Now, asithi umuntu is in a romantic relationship, right? Is the expectation yokuthi we are stepping away as well from that romantic relationship? What do the operations look like?
Yeah. So I think it's not stepping away. The generic thing is that every process in your life is going to allow those who stay to stay and those who don't to don't. And I don't mean it in terms of people are not suitable for the role or people are not suitable to be in your life at a particular stage. I don't mean it necessarily in that way. But I've come to realize after I came back from ePetlweni, I had a friend who said to me when I was in her home that, you know, you can be in my home, but don't do your things. I don't know what that meant. but there are people who can't journey with you in the different identities we step into at a particular time. And what happens then in romantic relationships, and I'm saying this because I'm thinking of three scenarios. The first one being umama, my birth mother, she was already married, she's, you know. And so I think that that could have been an easier conversation with her husband. It didn't lead to the decline of their relationship in any way. I also know of a couple where both of them were in processes of having to go under spiritual initiation, and they both selected a imbande where they could be there together. And I can't imagine how difficult that is because all of now having to sort of practice restraint, you know, not only with strangers, but with someone whose body you are familiar with, you are safe with, who's someone you actually love, can be a bit complicated. The majority of cases that I have seen have involved individuals having to be completely celibate and sometimes leave relationships with the hope that we can find the relationship again at some point. And that happens more often than not, because not only are you as partners going to be sexually deprived, you also don't know what the person is going to sort of emerge as post-initiation. That's the reality. So if you think from like Umdomdalo Asande's work in terms of like yoga, every time if I go through a 30-day yoga sessioning to sort of channel something, I come out differently. And so I respond to people differently. So there's definitely a loss that you have to anticipate as the initiate, but as the person who's left behind, you also have to anticipate a sense of loss. And I'm particularly saying this to say this. It's one of the most interesting things that I actually do not have an answer to as to why couples or people in relationships sort of have to disconnect for one to fully be in that process. Because I think true relationshiping with people, and it can be with friends, but particularly in the romantic sense, is about you journeying with someone through the various stages of life. Because you're also going to have stages where you're going to have to navigate the unknown. In as much as a spiritual initiation or any form of spiritual journey is an individual journey, you still have to coexist within society with us as people. Whatever it is that you are learning or you are becoming must also be able, in fact, I think guaranteed should be able to exist in society. Of course, society can be different. That's okay. You could be ostracized. But I will reject a belief that says that you will not belong. It's either society has not caught up with you or whatever the case may be. But the point I'm trying to make is it's very fascinating that this is a reality, that our spiritual journeys have to be journeys we actually go through independent of partners and not with partners as well. And I'm saying this to say, when I was in my initiation journey, my gobela, who was not present with me at initiation 24/7 because they were working in a different city, they would come like every second weekend. So I saw them twice a month. My gobela too had to also restrict themselves from the various things that I was restricted from. Because now we are connected. My dreams are connected to her. There are things she might see I will not see, or we will see the very same thing. And I say this with the Kobela, but I'm also saying this to say, Uguti, even some of my friends who I could talk to or who I chose to talk to at that time, I would do readings on them, or they would see me in their dreams and so forth and so forth. So there are people you will journey with generally, but there are also things you will see about home, about your partner, about yourself, and other people will also see who might know or not know. But where your partner is concerned, who absolutely knows you are in this journey, it makes absolute no sense for them to not sort of align themselves, because it is for a very specific period, but you get the benefits of a lifetime of knowing how to journey together in and out of becoming better versions of yourselves. I don't have an answer for that. My advice is a calling is a calling. And the unfortunate thing is that it is your calling. That to some extent, you have to find expression with how your calling sort of serves society. You might have to do that by yourself, and you must be ready to do that by yourself. And if you like, you must appreciate that, you know, the complexities are that you might have to let your partner go and then find each other after that process, right? Those are the difficult things that she's really going to, Umhlekazi or the Gogo in question will really have to speak to their partner about. And I think they would also have to appreciate that in as much as they are going through initiation, the initiate becomes a better version for the relationship. That is ideally what we hope for. And the other person who's not initiated also has to step up and be a better version for the qualified healer. So you can't be a healer and be in a relationship with someone who can't step up, right? I think the thing that makes it difficult for relationships is because both of you have to step into that process. Both of you have to meet each other, sometimes at your highest self. And sometimes you have to carry each other. And that's okay. But both of you have to make that commitment. And the people who often are disadvantaged are the spiritually enlightened. That's why that journey, to some extent, feels very lonely. This question is normal that this question is coming up right now. But I'm sorry, I have no answer to help with this question. Yeah.
Okay, I think it's one of those questions where you must interpolate from everything that we've said, Uthi, uzibone ukuthi wenza njani, as is spirituality, as ke abantu abahambileyo. I think my next question is around, you know, outside of just sex with other people, the idea of self-pleasuring and masturbating as well, right? And I think I want to link this to something that I conceptually didn't know. I suppose I didn't have the language to put to myself, right? Because there naturally is the idea and the conversation between celibacy and abstinence, right? Uma ungumuntu othwasayo, right? You are a person who or a spiritualist, the idea is that you are on a journey of celibacy, right? And not necessarily on a journey of abstinence. Okay, and I think I would like for us to chat about that a little bit, right? In your spiritual journey, how do you navigate self-pleasuring? Do you also limit it at a time where Uguti, you are intentional about stepping away from worldly things to open your third eye? How do you navigate that? Mautwasa, is it something that you can, you know, just take the itch off because everything is so heightened. What liberties do you have and why? I think, Asande, you can go first on this one.
Yeah, this is a very interesting question for me because in my spiritual journey, I have had moments of celibacy and I've had moments of abstinence, I guess the way that you put it. However, in especially New Age, so I think this is a very important question because in the way in which I practice my spirituality, it's very New Age, right? It's very all-encompassing, trying to be holistic. And some New Age teachings about manifesting speak about how you can bring things that you want into the world or manifest the things that you want using masturbation. Or using your orgasm while you think about these things that you want. So for me,
never heard that before.
Yeah, it's quite crazy. So for me,
intrigued. Okay, go on.
So for me, that discussion then comes in is that like, okay, so I'm using my energy to masturbate. I'm using my energy to kind of bring about this manifestation. But how am I doing that? Because if I'm watching porn, then that's definitely, it has nothing to do with my energy. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm thinking about, you know, maybe a sexual experience that happened a long time ago or a sexual experience that happened 2 years ago, that's where the wires get crossed. Because I do think that sexual energy, and also in the yogic practice, sexual energy is meant to be transmuted into healing energy. And hence, in the sacral chakra, which is located just at your sexual organs, right? You heal that, and they give you other ways in which you can channel that sexual energy through creativity. And then that self-pleasuring, where does it come from? Where does it come from within you? Because you want to feel the pleasure. It's almost like linking, I want to feel these pleasures in my life. So I'm going to make myself feel this pleasure. And then when I get there, like, I don't know if that makes sense. So I think for me, I struggle with the masturbation thing because I won't lie. I have masturbated to manifest. I hope that's not too a rated R for this show. And it's a very powerful tool for me personally on this journey. However, I do know the importance of taking that sexual energy and using it somewhere else. So you can use it to be creative, read up on things that are related to that sacral chakra. So things like water. It's all encompassing spirituality, I think. And I think understanding something like sexuality in a one-dimensional way is very limiting on the practitioner of spirituality. And also because, like I said, you're a spiritual being having a human experience. As New Age women, we come in with our beliefs. There's also feminism that my body is my own and I should be able to choose what I want to do with my body at any point in given time. And like Boko Matlobo said, when you go into spiritual enlightenment or walk this path, because it is an ancient path and it was something that was done from people before you, they did not live this life where all these worldly pleasures are actually at the tip of our fingers. I think there's an important conversation to be had about, you know, respecting that and keeping that space the way that it is, and rather than, you know, because it's much easier as human beings to latch onto New Age spirituality, because what it does in most cases is try and make spiritual processes a little easier, a little gentler. But sometimes that spiritual process is there not to be gentle, not to be easy. So as the person who's going through the journey, I think it's up to you in terms of masturbation and following your intuition. I think for me, in this conversation, one thing that has come up as I've been talking is the intuitive side of listening to yourself and your body and your spirit. Thanks.
Koko Mashobo, can you give us some commentary on that as well, please?
Yeah, I have to concur just on that last point, listening to yourself, listening to your body, particularly because to do spiritual work requires you to trust your body. And I mean, for us particularly, Maihlome, we do use the body as a way in which you channel messages. And I think it works also in other spiritual healing works as well. I understand masturbation to be, I absolutely agree in how sex generally is an incredible tool in terms of manifesting. And I think I haven't necessarily thought about how masturbation also sort of works in that way. But I definitely know that the act of sex, and I think masturbation to some extent, because you are having sex with yourself, also sort of responds to that. It's why it's important that oftentimes after you've had sex with someone, you are able to determine your energy levels. And that's able to tell you whether that is a relationship you should continue with or a relationship you should observe. And so one of the safest ways is to be in sexual community or with yourself. In terms of practice, we don't restrict masturbation. And I think, of course, because particularly ePehlweni, you guys, in terms of sleeping arrangements, everyone is sleeping everywhere with everyone or around everyone, rather. And so you would have to sort of figure out a way to do it privately, you know, outside of others, because particularly you shouldn't be having sex with others if you are ePehlweni. But we don't restrict masturbation. However, what is advisable, of course, is that you do it in a way that is intentional, but also in a way that won't interrupt how you do your work, especially if you have clients to see, et cetera, et cetera. So outside of masturbation, you would typically, and let's say you are a normal healer in a relationship, you have sex with your partner, ideally you wouldn't have sex before seeing a client, maybe the day before, or particularly if you are going to do a cleansing. So those are some of the precautions in which you would consider when it comes to sexual activity. And the thing about masturbation, interestingly, I only realized it later on after I became a healer, that Mindbande sort of navigates it outside of restrictions. It was not a conversation for me. I was not given that as an option. But I've seen some of my siblings have been given that as an option. Yeah. And I also do think that part of it is that, and I think everyone that falls part of my of my spiritual community and home carries very ancient ancestors, but it's everyone that sort of has to navigate the modern world, right? And so we sort of try to meet it halfway. But I also generally, from my connection with my ancestors, have never seen a restriction around it. You know, personally, I've never seen a restriction around it. So masturbation is definitely something that I think would be possible. Yeah, I can't answer particularly for how sort of Christians sort of read masturbation as a potential activity that could turn into an addiction, et cetera, et cetera. I really can't answer that. Also because in the world that I live in as an African and Black person, it's very rare that I have interacted people that we've called sex addicts or porn addicts. It's very, very rare. And I'm not saying there aren't any. I'm saying I don't know if Thabo, who lives two streets from me, has this as a problem, you know. And I'm saying this to say I have not seen someone come into my practice and say, Gogo, I've got a problem. I'm over masturbating. I haven't seen this as a problem. So I think it's actually fascinating that it's coming up for me as a thing to think about. But yeah.
It's interesting that you say, Uguti, you know, in our spiritual home, there weren't necessarily overt restrictions or conversations. So I think I must highlight, Uguti, mina nawe sitwase under very different conditions, right? You would have twasad in the greater spiritual home, whereas I was by myself, right? Being twasad and giwan. So I came from a background with Utipisen Twase is Khosa before. So I wasn't necessarily a new Twasane. And I had already in Yukatango, if I say from my previous spiritual home. So I think there were general understandings and notions around sex, right? So when we have this discussion about masturbation now, I don't even think I thought about it as something that was accessible to me during initiation. I just thought with Yazini, all sex and sexual energy is off limits to the point where there was this point where I was on my way to work and I was sitting in the Uber after many moons of non-interaction. And I crossed my legs and shall I say, I arrived and I felt so guilty, right? I was like, oh my God. I called back. I was like, Mama, what happens in this situation? And she's like, bro, can you just calm down? Because it's your body. Do you know what I mean? So I think the point of this is that you become quite caged into your body as well, because there's so much that you can't do. And there's so much that, you know, that you should be wary of as well. Okay, so there's this idea of spiritual wife and
can I just say something quickly about sex in the spiritual context? I think oftentimes when we say don't have sex, it's sort of like you connecting with other people. But we probably, all of us here, are very much aware of the dangers that have been emerging, of what happens to initiates in terms of power play, but also sex and sexual violence in initiation schools. And part of why some gobelas would sexually violate, I don't know if that necessarily has to do with them having sexual addictions, more than it has to do with them using sex as a transmission to obtain one's gift or to obtain access to one's gift. And so when we talk about restricting one to have sex while you are in your spiritual journey, what we don't talk about is the beauty of sort of exchanging sexual blessings and gifts when you are having sex. Not necessarily while you are in initiation, but the spiritual benefits of sex is that merging of gifts that happens. And of course, the only record we have of this is where this has been abused. And so I want to sort of, in line with your example, but in line of what Umhlekazi Asande was talking about the beauty of just sex, and understanding that as a spiritual person, that oftentimes we think of it as dirty. So those who are not abusing sex when they're in spiritual journeys are like, I shouldn't do it because it's this dirty thing that's going to deter me from A, B, and C. But part of waiting and sort of curating your sexual activity is the intention of you saying, I accept that when I'm having sex with Sporazi could have access to A, B, and C, and I could have access to A, B, and C from Sporazi. That really is what happens during sex, is that we give each other access. It's a give and take. That's the beauty of consensual sex. So I think that's something that we don't talk about often, also because we are not trying to sexualize the spiritual process, right? Because of what sex can do in the darkness of spirituality. Yeah. Thanks, Gogo.
Ngiyabonga Gogo. I think some of my last questions have to do with the idea of ukuthi, should you shy away from sex, right? There is room for a spiritual wife or a spiritual husband or a spiritual partner. Can the both of you just give us a little insight on what you know about spiritual wives and husbands? I will not even act like I have some conception. I do not. But I've heard the language being thrown around. So if you have some insight on that, please shed some light.
I'll just go because my insights is very shallow, just like yours, Gogo. However, in my knowledge, I guess a spiritual husband is a spiritual entity that would then have sex with you. So I don't know, because I like to shy away from these conversations, but I would like to pose the question then, is that how does that spiritual entity enter another person if it's not through the exchange of sex? How is it that when you are living in your true or the person that you are meant to be on a journey to get there, on your spiritual path, how is it that another spiritual entity is going to come into your bedroom unless that spiritual entity is not entered through sexual intercourse? Then we have to then ask the question of faithfulness in relationships when it comes to having a relationship with a spiritual person. And that's all I have to ask. I guess it's not advice. It's just a question. I'm posing the question for discussion.
Eyokuthi usthola njani spiritual husband ube uvalile in the first.
Exactly. In the first, ingena kanjani. A spiritual husband, how does it enter this realm of me and my partner? My partner is being committed to me and faithful. So, yeah.
Mahlobo yini spiritual husband? Maybe you can, you know,
I love that question. I don't know, but I love it. So what I think, should I be touching on spiritual husbands, spiritual ties, perhaps? Because I think sometimes they can sort of be the same thing, and some people sort of read them as not the same thing. So what I think there's something that sort of happens when people are in relationships. I've seen it happen with female-bodied healers who will say, you know, I'm struggling to be in a relationship, or when I have sex with this is for like heterosexual persons who are women. So you'd say, oh no, I'm struggling to have sex with other people. I'm struggling to sustain relationships because the main Rosi or the main ancestor that works with me is a man. And so therefore they are jealous and so forth. And so it makes it very difficult to sort of have interactions with men. And I think that's not necessarily true. I think what happens there is that the main healer that sort of works with you carries arguably a masculine energy. And so you need to meet a partner that understands that there's another masculine energy that's around us that we have to negotiate with. I think personally, that's what it is. Now, onto soul ties, which is a bit of a difficult one. My understanding of soul ties has never been like a positive understanding of soul ties. In fact, my first introduction in understanding soul ties is that, you know, you have a relationship with someone and the person sort of clings to you because they want to have access to your gifts, et cetera, et cetera. I've seen an incident where, sorry, let me just wrap that thought up. And so for me, soul ties are always something you must disconnect. That's how I've absolutely understood it. It's always something that you must disconnect. And I wonder, if I were to take time, do I really necessarily think that that's the case? Right. Particularly because soul ties tend to have been people you've had sex with. And so you sort of need to disconnect it because of the implication of that sexual interaction. The second thing with soul ties is that ubuthakathi can also create soul ties with someone. So you don't necessarily, maybe perhaps to answer the question that's being asked, you don't necessarily have to be a willing participant for witchcraft to find you, right? You just have to be a victim. You just have to be the target and they will come for you. So which is why regular cleansing of yourself, and I mean, the question has been asked, sorry if I'm skipping to it. The question has been asked, how regularly should I cleanse after sexual interaction? And I think if you are having casual sex, you should probably do it after every interaction if you have various sexual partners. The easiest thing is coarse salt, bath yourself. If you are in a more stable relationship, I really think do that once a month and maybe see if you and your partner can do it together and sort of ritualize it just as a self-cleansing and couple cleansing thing. Then I wanted to share that I've seen an experience where two healers met at initiation. They dreamt of each other while they were both respectively at initiation. And they sort of interpreted that as a relationship, as a confirmation of a relationship. And they continued to have a relationship while in initiation and after initiation. The problem with that particular relationship was that these two individuals had engaged in sexual activity while they were in initiation, which did two things. The first thing is that it's an implication because it makes the initiation process for other initiates also a sexual process, and you don't want that. You don't want a culture of a thing. So what I mean by that is if there's a culture that you sing at an initiation school, all of you must do it, right? So if there's, and all of you influence each other. So if there's a culture of sex, it sort of creates a culture that, and the thing about cultures is that you must latch onto it or you must let go of it and you must cleanse it. Sex needed to be cleansed in the initiation school. So those are the implications. But what it did as well is that it really strengthened their bond. I don't know much about the relationship, but my imagination just runs wild in terms of how they were supposed to be, how they were helpful to each other in terms of accessing the gifts, how they sort of journeyed together. And I thought that there's a beautiful aspect to it, that they sort of dreamt of each other and found each other. And so for me, that was one of the purest, at least by my imagination, ways where spiritual husbands and wives sort of meet, right? What gets creepy about it is if someone sees themselves as your spiritual partner and you are just firstly not interested in that, and two, you absolutely don't believe that that is what's happening. I think that's what sort of causes a lot of confusion. But I also think that people who come up to people or people who suggest to others that I am your spiritual partner oftentimes don't articulate it in ways that make sense. And what I'm not saying that spiritual things are sometimes complicated to understand. I'm saying if you are telling me to my face that I am the one that is destined for you, you better know how to explain it in ways that make sense to me as a participant. I will not be participating in anything, regardless of whether I trust your gift or not. That there has to be consent in how we think about marriage, right, and relationships. Which brings me to the third point, you know, the ideal spiritual husband, spiritual wives. I don't know what then African culturalists or traditionalists have to sort of say about it, because for us to determine a marriage, various things have to happen. And it's also a spiritual process. So Makgadi Lobola is also quite spiritual, right? And I think that the fact that, so if you think about it in the very, very traditional pre-colonial way of animal having to move from a kraal, which is a very sacred space for family, to another kraal, that is a spiritual connection. Of course, we don't understand it as spiritual now because we're not exchanging livestock. But where does the livestock stay, right? It stays in a kraal, and a kraal is a very sacred spiritual space. So yes, marriage, even in the African sense, is a spiritual connection, is a spiritual activity that you are joining. But with, in terms of how that happens outside of those things that have to happen and elders having to be involved, I am a bit skeptical about it, I must say. I'm a bit skeptical about it. There are ways in which you can verify. I think going to one or two consultations to verify whether or not something could be the case, you yourself just upahlela your own ancestors or praying, whatever method you do, is very important. Like that level of introspection and reflection and meditation that you must do for yourself to determine that is very important. Because for someone to declare that you are their wife or husband needs you to avail yourself to certain responsibilities, because marriage is a responsibility. And so my advice at the point at which you encounter an experience like that, if you don't have the tools yourself or if you don't feel the same, definitely get consultation on it, particularly because part of how we've kept spirituality sacred has opened up to people who have misused the some of the knowledges that we protect as sacred, and sort of used it as knowledge sharing, but it's also wrong knowledge sharing, right? And manipulation. And so I don't understand it in most cases as a, I must say that is my bias. I've never understood soul ties and spiritual husbands and wives to necessarily be positive. Particularly because I've always known that I can see. And so, and that's the bias. The unfortunate thing is I have the advantage that I can dream of someone. And so I can ask questions. And so I've always relied on the fact that I absolutely will be shown. So that is the advantage I sit with. Even before I went into initiation and before I understood the complexity of my gift, I just generally used to dream. And so if I dreamt of you or I didn't dream of you and you're talking about me being a spiritual husband, that would have been a red flag for me generally. So for those who don't have the tools and the advantages, I think it's very imperative to get consultation, and you don't have to be into African spirituality or a believer to just get a consultation. Think about it as if, what I'm trying to flag here is that the dark side of spiritual connections can happen with or without your consent. And so I would advise everyone who sort of is grappling with this to be as proactive as possible. It's like going to a therapy session. You don't have to believe in it, just go. So just definitely get a consultation with a spiritualist or a healer to sort of answer some of those questions for you, or read you, or help you navigate certain things. And you can go about your life after that. You know, you don't have to subscribe. But I absolutely don't understand it in a positive way. I think there are ways in which ancestors communicate connections and relationships with us, and those ways are not boastful and loud. And so if someone comes with their chest very confidently that they are my spiritual husband, I am running away from that person. So, yeah. Yeah.
Togozani. I think, thank you both, Mahlengikazi, for joining us in this discussion today. I do foresee that there will be continued interest in and around navigating interpersonal relationships, particularly ones with spiritual and sexual connotations. So ngiyabonga kakhulu, Togozani and Kamakwini.
Togozani Gogo. Thank you so much. I just wanted to, if I can just add on to what Sipogazi said. I'm sorry, just two seconds more on the spiritual husband chat. The one thing that she said, she spoke about how people will be shown to you if you're a spiritual being, and she doesn't trust people who come up to her. And she also touched on consultations. But I also want to also, she also touched on when you have a consultation with someone, also walk away from whatever they said. Because, I mean, for me in particularly, my experience outside of Okoko, I've been, every consultation I go to, they tell me about a different man. And I don't know if that is to say Guti Lozilam likes to play around. I don't know, man. But I do think the important thing is that as soon as you kind of stand up from that consultation, you need to kind of put that, yes, you know this information, it might come of fruition, but also still stick to your truth and your own path. Because it can be very disappointing when they can tell you, hey, this guy is going to be Usher. And you're like, yes, I'm going to have a man with a six pack. He's going to have money. Don't Tony. And then that doesn't happen for you. So just also be cautious in the way that you navigate consultations when it comes to romantic relationships. And that's all.
Promise us something, come and report them here on Gogo. Have I been scammed? Because they're scamming you guys if you don't have that man with a six pack as promised. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Togozani, thank you so much to Ugogo Mahlobo and Mhlengikazi Asande for joining us today to unpack this very raunchy and naughty discussion. Ngiyabonga. And I would just like to touch on a couple of things and to emphasize a couple of points before we wrap this up today. Firstly, I think I would like to re-emphasize one of Mahlobo's last points, Zoguti. We must be very careful in and around being told by someone, Uguti, they are your spiritual partner, or so-and-so is your spiritual partner and has been given to you. I share the sentiment, Uguti, often, more often than not, it is a tactic to manipulate and to get people to make decisions or specific decisions in specific contexts. I have little to no understanding of spiritual partnerships or having a spiritual husband and the mechanisms of that. And so that is where I will leave that. When it comes to cleansing and, you know, ritualistic cleansing, post-sexual interaction, if you're a person or casual about their sexual interaction, that would call for a more immediate cleansing. So after each and every interaction with whoever may be on your roster, if you are that type of a person who has a roster, as to not, as not disadvantage yourself and the people that you are openly having these relationships with. However, if ungumuntu onomuntu a little bit more locked and loaded, a monthly cleansing is warranted, and it is something that you can do together with your partner. I also want to urge you, Mpulapuli, spiritualist, person on a journey, Uruti, conversations in and around sex should be something that you can openly and honestly have with your shaman or ukobela wako. And if that is not a possibility, thola umuntu that you trust and someone that you know intuitively would not lead you astray in terms of your understandings, and also speak to as many people as you can. But I do want to caution you around speaking to people as to justify you wanting to step out on your spiritual journey, knowing that you're not supposed to do something, but just seeking and going on a research expedition. And I think that will be it from Gogo today. To share your story, please email us on gogohaveibeenscammed@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can reach out to us through the socials, either on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok under the handle @gogohaveibeenscammed. Remember that you can find our latest podcast episodes on the Sowetan Live website under the podcast tab, or across digital streaming platforms, that is Iono FM, Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts. Please be sure to catch our other podcasts and our wide array of following, such as Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, 30 Years of Democracy, Business Day Spotlight, and Chisa Live. Gogo Have I Been Scammed is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Luzo. I have been your host, Gogo Zipho Dolamo, and until next time, thokozani kamabini emakhosini.